As we look at the message this morning, I want to shed some light on the idea, if it's the end of the year, and we talk about, as always, I love talking about the end times, and I love to share with you about that thought, is that what needs to happen before Jesus returns and really the end of time comes? Like, what kind of things do we need to see in this world before Jesus comes? And I think Scripture tells us very, very clearly what needs to happen. Because sometimes I get the question, you know, Pastor, are we in the end times? Is this the end times? Is this virus the sign of the end times? Is a vaccine a sign of the mark of the beast? And we have these kind of questions. And I want to explain that to you because I believe that the answer is crystal clear in Scripture, that the answer is a big no. No, these things are not a sign of that. No, the vaccine's not a sign of the mark of the beast. I'll show you very clearly why I believe that. And are we in the end times? Let me explain that to you a little bit. When Jesus hung on the cross, and then he was put in the tomb, and he rose again, and then he ascended into heaven, basically from that moment forward into our time now, we've always been, in a sense, the end times, because Christ could come back at any moment. But again, there's certain things that have to happen before he comes back, and it's laid out in Scripture beautifully for us. So when you ask the question, are we in the end times? We are, because Jesus could come back at any moment, but have all the signs come to pass to say that it is the end times? And the answer is, again, no, it's not. And I want to show you again clearly. So let me show you some Scriptures to assure us that it's not the end times. And just simply, I want to say this, is that the church is still here. You and I are still here. The rapture hasn't happened, so I don't believe we're in the end times, that it's not the end of times. If you were to take, I've got a picture here. On the side in the sanctuary, we've got a free resource center. And on there, there's all kinds of things. There's there's like daily breads, there's membership applications, there's magazines and resources, and there's also our What We Believe document. It's from the POC head office. It's our fundamental, what we believe fundamentally, and it talks about the end of time here. It's listed here, the end of time, and what has to happen. So in the document, it says this about the rapture. It says, the rapture, the blessed hope of the church, is the imminent coming of the Lord in the air to receive to himself his own, both the living who shall be transformed and the dead in Christ who shall be resurrected. This event takes place before the wrath of God is poured out. During the tribulation, believers then will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged according to faithfulness in Christian service. And then it goes on to say this about the tribulation. The tribulation will be a time of judgment on the whole earth. During this period, the Antichrist will emerge and offer false hope to the nations. Now, this is what our PEOC believes. Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, we're a part of that denomination. And there's all these Scriptures to back that up. So we think about that as individuals. We think, okay, so the rapture will come and the church and all the Christians will go and meet God in the air, and then the tribulation will come. We believe that. Now, let me show you some Scriptures here to make sure that that makes sense for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath, the coming tribulation. God will rescue us Christians out of that during the rapture. We'd also pick it up in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. It says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole earth to test those who live on the earth. So we see here again very, very clear that God will rescue us. He will save us from the coming wrath or the coming tribulation. I want you to understand that the Word of God, that one-third of it, which is quite a chunk of it, 30% of it basically, is prophecy. And if we look at all those prophetic words in there, most of them refer to the end times. So we could say, and we'll be gentle, we'll say 25% of the Bible, the Word of God, refers to the end times. So when you and I just read through the scripture, basically in any book in the scriptures, we will find references to the end times. So for you and I, when we think about the end times and people question the church and they ask us or ask the pastors, do we believe that it's the end times? Well, we can find many scriptures to back that up. We should be very knowledgeable actually about the end times because God has paved it and made a beautiful blueprint for us to find. So let me lay it out this way. I want to show you a couple slides in just a second that will show you all of the things that will happen as the end comes, you know, the rapture and the tribulation. I want to just spell it all out for you. If you want to even pause the video and, you know, write it down or even take a screenshot with your phone, all of this is backed up with scripture. And this today, I'm not going to share with you all those scriptures. If you want to listen to that sermon where I explain all of that in detail, you can go back. Last year on December the 29th of 2019, the title was The End of Time. You go to our website, you click on sermons on the top right hand, and you just scroll down till you find December the 29th, and you can listen to that message. Even 2 years ago when I first moved here, I shared a two-part series on December 30th of 2018 and January 6th of 2019, and just called The End Times, Part 1 and Part 2. And again, you can go to our website, you can listen to that, and it will explain all of these things in detail. But for today, I really want to focus in on the idea, what needs to happen before the end comes? What needs to happen before the rapture even happens, or before Jesus comes down from heaven in the air, we meet him up there? So again, let's look at the slide together here. We got about five slides we're going to walk through. The first slide says the rapture of the church. So again, what needs to happen? What does that look like? Suddenly all believers will be raised. Suddenly those that were even dead or martyred Christians will be raised and meet Jesus in the air, and us as Christians will meet God in the air. God says that he'll provide a wedding supper. We'll be able to enjoy this wonderful meal together. And then the judgment seat of Christ. That'll be a judgment for you and I as Christians. Then what will happen as you and I are hanging out with the Lord and it's all wonderful and we're having this wonderful meal together is the great tribulation will happen here on earth. You and I are gone. All Christians gone. All churches, in a sense, gone. And Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet will be here on the earth for 7 years. 7 years of tribulation. It's going to be crazy. You don't want to be around for that. The mark of the beast will happen. So we see here clearly, remember in the very beginning of what we started talking about here, do we think the vaccine or whatever comes down the pipe will be the mark of the beast? Well, actually, the mark of the beast doesn't happen till the tribulation, and that's when Christians are already gone. So as Christians, when we think about, do we need to worry about the mark of the beast at any point in history, when they start saying, well, you might need a vaccine, we might have to put an implant in your body, you know, so we can track you, or all these kind of things, we don't need to worry about that as Christians, honestly. If we look at that scripturally, we don't need to be concerned with that. The great tribulation will continue at Armageddon. There'll be this giant battle, and then Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, which leads us into the next slide, which is the millennium. Christ will rule and reign here on earth for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan, who was bound, will be released, and there'll be a final battle, like this wonderful, like TV movie, you know, extravaganza, sellout crowd kind of a battle. And then it moves into the white throne judgment, and this is for unbelievers. So we've already been judged at the judgment seat of Christ. All of the unbelievers will be judged at that point. And then our last slide here is the new heaven and the new earth. So you can see there's a lot of things that are going to happen. And oh, wonderful to know that in Scripture it's laid out there just so beautifully for you and I to read through. So again, what needs to happen before the rapture and the tribulation? What kind of things do we need to see before Jesus comes again? So let's look for that. So we're going to have some fun here. You're going to be encouraged by the end of this, I promise. So we're going to pick up a story, because again, I want to just pave a foundation and start moving towards the things that need to happen before Jesus comes. The disciples asked Jesus what he's talking about in Luke chapter 21. Jesus is referring to the temple. It's going to get all knocked down. All the stones will be turned over. The disciples say, Jesus, explain what you're saying to us. I don't quite understand. And Jesus takes this moment to explain the things that are about to happen currently for the disciples and also what's going to happen in the very, very future. So here we go. Luke chapter 21, verse 7. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place. What kind of signs do we need to see again? And continuing in verse 8 and 9, he replied, "Watch out that you will not be deceived." Oh, we know that in the end times, as we get closer, there'll be a lot of deception going on. "For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, don't be frightened." I love that. Don't be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Verse 10 and 11. He said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes and famines and pestilence in various places and fearful events and great signs from heaven." Five things are listed there. So here's the first sign I want to show you. What signs, again, do we need to see happen before Jesus will come? We see great earthquakes, we see famines, we see pestilences, which is plagues and epidemics and diseases and viruses, fearful events, and great signs from heaven. So when I read that to you, you think, okay, well, I heard you just say, you know, epidemics and pandemics and viruses. So this must mean we're in the end times. Well, the answer is yes, that is a part of it. So yes, we're seeing things that refer to the end times, but we don't see all of those things, do we? We don't see great, well, we do see earthquakes, but not great earthquakes. I'm talking like earth-shaking earthquakes. And great famines like we've never seen before. And fearful events. And signs coming out of heaven. We don't see those kind of things today. But we do see pandemics and viruses. But that doesn't refer, or we don't need to be concerned that we are in the end times. Because many things need to happen. I want to show you a bunch more of them. So since we see our current pandemic and our virus is only a part of the things that we need to see before the end times, again, what else needs to happen? So let's continue to keep reading in Luke chapter 21, verse 25. "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity, the roaring and the tossing of the sea." So we see three different things here, again, need to happen as well. Jesus here is regarding the signs of the sun, moon, and stars. He's actually quoting Isaiah in the Old Testament. Let's read that, what Isaiah said, chapter 13, verse 10 of Isaiah. "The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light." Obviously, if the sun is not giving light, the moon's not going to give its light. But here we see that the constellations out there, all the galaxies and stars, will stop shining. I mean, that's a sign from heaven, like, okay, something's going on. The rising of the sun will be darkened. There'll be no more sun. Okay, that's pretty serious. And our friendly moon that we always see very, very nice, big in the sky, won't be there as well. Those are some serious signs. Are those things happening right now? Absolutely not. So there's still a lot of things that still need to happen. Let's continue to kind of break that down. The second thought here is nations will be in anguish. The word anguish here is only used twice in the New Testament, and it refers to a constraint or being hemmed in. You know, our nation's hemmed in and in anguish and being withheld to do... Absolutely, I would probably agree with that. So maybe we could refer to this as like, okay, yeah, this could be happening right now. But again, many other things are not happening right now to see the end of time. Let's look at the third piece here. We see the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Jesus refers to this use of words right here. And it's rewritten in Acts. I'm going to pick up another story in Acts chapter 27, verse 18 and 19, too. Just shed a bit more. Roaring and tossing of the sea. What does that look like? Like, how crazy would it be? So Paul here, we pick up the story in Acts chapter 27. Paul is sailing to Rome, and he's in a boat, and these kind of things start happening. The waters start getting pretty intense, and he encounters a storm along the way. So in verse 18 and 19 of Acts chapter 27, "We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard to try and lighten the boat so it wouldn't keep getting swells and wouldn't keep, you know, the waves wouldn't come over. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands." Okay, this is a serious storm. Like, they're like, oh, we got to do everything we can to survive the storm. And I wonder, is the world facing these kind of storms? You know, we definitely have different things happening around, but are you talking like globally where the sea is completely out of control? Those things are not happening right now. Let's continue to read in Luke as we look for other things that need to happen before the end times. Luke chapter 21, verse 26. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Now, when we read that, I think about the first thought comes to my mind. Men will faint from terror. It just, to me, it feels like men don't usually faint from that kind of stuff. Men are usually like, you know, like we're not really too worried. But the word here, in the original way it was written, it means this: to breathe out the soul. It just means to almost like have your last breath. Like that's the kind of fear and that they would faint from because of the things that are coming, the things that they see. And if we go back to that story that we were just reading in Acts, where the boat was out of control, we would pick it up in the very next verse of verse 20 of Acts chapter 27. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. So that's the word here. Are we in a time in history when men, you and I, alike, men and women, are at a place where, like, we've given up. There's just no hope. It is so out of control, we have completely given up hope. I mean, there are some interesting things going on. Let's not joke ourselves, but it is not even close to a time like that. So, again, we don't need to be too concerned. Verse 27, let's continue reading. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and with great glory. Praise Jesus. So even though it's going to get interesting near the end, we see that God in great power and great authority is going to come in a cloud and he's going to take us away. Verse 28, let's continue reading. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's going to happen. You know, look up because God is coming in great power and great authority. And you and I do not need to be concerned. We know we're to look up because we would read in Thessalonians and many other places. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, it says this: after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So near the end, when God's coming down, we'll be caught up in the air with him. Isn't that just wonderful news to hear? Let's finish this story in Luke chapter 21, verse 29 and 30. He told them this parable. I love how Jesus does that. He shows them, he explains to them, and then he uses a simple parable for you and I. So just we can just take a deep sigh. God's in control. God knows what he's up to. We see this. So he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and you know that summer is near. This is a parable. This is trying to encourage us. So what will it be like in the end? Will we see it? Will it be clear to us? Or will we be confused? No, it'll be so clear to us that as we would see buds and leaves come up, as we see spring happening, it's so clear. We know that. Now here locally, it's a little confusing, isn't it? It's been so warm that even some of the buds and the trees and the bushes right now are coming out, aren't they? But isn't it interesting how easy it is for you and I to notice that, right? We're like, these poor trees are budding at the wrong time. That's very, very clear to us, isn't it? So in the end times, it'll be the same way. It'll be very, very clear to us what's happening, what it looks like. Listen to what Jesus says. And again, using the same kind of terminology here in Matthew chapter 21, verse 18 and 19. Jesus, early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately the tree withered. Now we know this story is referring to producing fruit, but what we see clearly here is that Jesus was walking around, he saw a tree, it had leaves on it. It should be producing fruit. It should be very obvious. It should be clear, right? So when the end times come, it will be very obvious and very clear to us. We won't have to be concerned because we have the scriptures. We've got the word of God that paves it out perfectly for us, lays out a beautiful blueprint so we know exactly when these things are happening, what will be happening on the earth. The very last piece of scripture, Luke chapter 21, verse 31. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. When we see what thing's happening, that's what we really need to understand as a church, as Bible-believing people. What kind of things, when we see these things happening, what are these things? And that's what we've been wrestling through all this morning or today. What kind of things did we just talk about? We talked about great earthquakes. We talked about famines. We talked about plagues and diseases and viruses and fearful events and great signs from heaven. We haven't seen any of those yet. Signs in heaven, the stars in heaven will go out. The sun will darken. The moon will not shine. Nations will be in anguish, like, you know, hemmed in on all sides. It's going to be very interesting. The sea will be completely out of control. And men will be in such terror and fear. Now again, we've seen very few of those things. We may have seen a few of them throughout history, one of them at a time, but all of these things will be going on in the end. So again, we don't need to be concerned right now. Listen to what Matthew says. So this is the parallel verse that we just read in Luke chapter 21, verse 31. Listen to what Matthew has to say. Again, the very same verse. Even so, when you see all these things happening, you know that the end is near, and it's right at your door. When something's right at your door, right? When somebody knocks at your door, you know, you got a package. It's Christmas time, or somebody's bringing you some goodies. It's very obvious, isn't it? You don't like, hey, where's that package? You know, is it ever going to come? Or, you know, yeah, it's very obvious when somebody's at your door. When the end comes, it'll be very obvious. And we can trust our God. I love that idea that as the end draws near, we've got a beautiful layout of it. You know, the world doesn't know what's going to be happening, but the Word of God sure does. It's God's world. He's in control. He knows exactly how it will end, and He's given us the truth so that we can really trust Him, right? As fear comes and worry comes, we can just lean on God because He's in complete control. He knows exactly how it will end. Isn't that wonderful news? Well, I hope that encouraged you today. Let me pray with you, and then we'll go. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth that it brings us peace and comfort when we're fearful. God, I thank you that you take all of the worry and anxiety away about everything that's going on in this world because we can trust you. We can lean on you. You know exactly what you're doing. So, Father, we trust you. We worship you. We honor you this day. Oh, God, thank you for 2020, even though it was interesting, even though it was a little bit unique. God, it was, you know. And we're going to trust you again in 2021. So, God, we just bless you. We honor you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.